Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have today's guest. His name is Israel Shamir. We're calling Israel in Israel, in fact. We have an article that Israel has penned recently while he was promoting an anti-war stand in Israel. I'm wondering, Israel, are you getting a lot of response from the Israeli public against this conflict?
Well, I do get more response from abroad. And not all that much from Israel in Israel, I'm afraid.
That's a frightening thought. Is the Israeli public completely behind this war right now?
Well, to a great extent, probably yes. I would say, they say that something like 80% support the war. So it has very heavy support. Even the traditional, let's say, relatively moderate parties like Meretz, it is some sort of moderate party or liberal moderate party, even they do support the war.
That is painful. Are you aware of Ezekiel 27 and Ezekiel 28 in the Old Testament?
No, I don't think I do remember it offhand.
Well, it is a roadmap for the attack that's being leveled against southern Lebanon as we speak, and it was written 2,500 years ago. And I'm wondering what kind of messianic thoughts are going into this attack. And it's not for Hezbollah. I'm convinced of that. What we're doing this for is a greater story than just Hezbollah, I believe.
Yeah, I also think that one of the ideas is to extend the war to Syria and possibly to Iran, and to bring the United States into war. So I am also very much afraid of kind of bigger and worse plans. Yes.
Well, what we're seeing also here, I mean, I understand that you are a cosmopolitan Jew from Russia, who lived a different kind of life. Are there a lot of Russian immigrants to Israel who find it difficult to live the kind of cloistered life that they end up leading in Israel? I mean, the Jews that I know from Russia have a different outlook on life than the ones I think I understand from Israel. Do you find that to be true?
Yes, that's probably very much true. And then there's something like 50,000 Russians went back to Russia just in the last couple of years from Israel, went back to Russia. And this process probably would be even stronger if it would be easier, because it's not that very easy to do technically. Logistically, it's not an easy thing to do. But basically, oh yes, many people that I know of would like to go elsewhere. Some to back to Russia, and some to Canada, and some to New Zealand, and whatnot. But you know that the friends of Israel, they don't usually allow such thing to happen. I received, for instance, today a letter from New Zealand, from a family of Russian Jews who became Christians, and they moved to New Zealand and wanted to ask there for refugee, for asylum. But the Friends of Israel over there said, no, 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 the right place for every Jew is in Israel, and let them stay in Israel.
Yeah, well, they're planning a pogrom in America so that the Israelis, the Jews of America, all end up in the Middle East as well. And it seems like you may be surprised to know that the press in America is not what the American public is thinking. 65 to 70% of the people, I think, are against what's going on over there, but the press is telling you lies.
Yes, I hope so. I hope so. I visit America from time to time, and I'm always impressed that the people are quite different from what their leadership tells them or what the media tells them that they should think. I agree. Yes, absolutely.
Now, are you aware that the administration of George Bush and of Bill Clinton were both controlled by the same group? In other words, 70% of their leadership within the presidential community was all from the Jewish community, many of them dual citizens to Israel.
Yes, yes, that's what we read. Yes, that's kind of quite strange thing that in such a great country as the United States, one can't find anybody else. That's a bit strange, huh?
Well, it's more than strange. It's by design, and what we understand today is that America has been taken over by a conspiracy to control the United States' wealth to do evil in the world for Zionism. And Zionism is a sickness, I think. And I take offense to what's going on in the world. And I from reading your website, I couldn't be prouder to have you on the line, because they're doing terrible things to a lot of places in this planet. And I'm wondering, how are we as a loving human family going to stop this kind of carnage in the name of America? I mean, they're destroying the reputation of the United States, and they're killing people in the meantime. How do we stop them, Israel?
Well, I think what you are doing is very important, that you speak about it, because one of the most important battlefields is the battlefield of ideas, battlefield of opinions. And so that is what we are actually doing now. We use our weapons on this battlefield of ideas, and people who tune to your station, they get anyway our understanding of the.
Well, topic. You know, you. It's interesting, because our last interview, you were in Moscow, and we were kind of using a cell phone last time. This is actually a better connection, but.
Yeah.
The last time we talked, things had not developed like this, but what I've come to understand is that this plan goes back 2,500 years. Its modern version comes from Herzl back 100 years ago, but they've been working towards supremacy and Bible prophecy for over two millennia. I'm wondering...
I don't believe that such plans can possibly exist, you know. Let's say on a personal level, I don't believe that such things can happen. Human beings are unable to plan for such lengths of time.
Well, I'm wondering what you think of the Russian police, the Tsar's police, collecting the information from the protocols of Zion and how it matches historical events of the last century.
Yeah, I think that's obviously a very, very interesting book. And I wrote about it in my book, which is called The Galilee Flowers. It's written about it, and in my view, it's a pamphlet, meaning that the person who wrote it, obviously, wrote it as a pamphlet, let's say, as a way to denounce this sort of policy. That's how I understand.
Well, I see, because most of the things that have happened in the last century actually follow that document quite closely. So there's more than a coincidence there if you take a look at the parallels. But we also know that the banking structure in our world is thoroughly controlled by the same megalomaniac group, and it's led over by families like Rothschild, Warburg, Kahn, Loeb, Goldman. And even including people who have gotten their hands on the Russian banking system as well, even in China. I'm wondering what your take is on the banking structure that the world is being controlled under.
I'm afraid it's well beyond kind of my knowledge. It's not kind of within my expertise, so probably it would be kind of wrong of me.
Do you have an opinion about the Rothschild family using its influence in the world?
I know very, very little about it. I'm kind of not a banking man. Sorry.
Well, I think everything goes back to money, and if you take a look at power and money, they're inseparable. That's why we've looked so deeply into the financial structure. How about the people in the control of the media of the world, such as, Sumner Redstone and people who control CBS and
yes,
people?
That is something I know much more about, and that's where I really do agree with you. That is absolutely awful thing. That something should be done about that. That one should take away media from those very rich men,
mm-hmm.
and to give to ordinary people access to media. Yes, I think.
But are you aware that they're pushing the World War III on the American press on stations like CNN, and they're
mm-hmm.
talking about end times, and they're talking about the return of Jesus and the rapture. They're actually discussing
yes,
these things.
Yes, quite awful. That's what I say. Media should be democratized, and that is obviously something that would be able to heal a lot of those problems. And with those things, May, thank you again for this call, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Israel, and I'll talk to you soon, sir.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that ended rather abruptly, and Israel was not able to actually address many of the short-term questions that we had here, sadly. It would have been beneficial for us to have more time and to actually get into some of these things in more depth. Of course, a 10-minute phone call is certainly not enough. And I'm not comfortable with some of the responses that I received, clearly. Especially about Rothschild. But as you and I both know, we're not aware of what kind of pressure would be on somebody in Israel if they started talking about Rothschild. He might be dead by tomorrow. Who knows? Simple fact of the matter is nobody in the Jewish community doesn't have some knowledge or some opinion about that, the banking structure of the world. So I have to wonder if that was a little disingenuous. But it could be for self-protection, or it could be for other reasons. We won't be able to understand that in hindsight, just taking a look at what we just discussed with Israel. The last time we discussed things when he was in Moscow, I never felt we really got beyond the superficial either, and sadly. However, he is one of the only people in that country actually trying to start an anti-war stand there. Now, whether or not there are other reasons for him doing that, or if he's genuine and all that stuff, only he knows that, ladies and gentlemen. We're left guessing in some instances whether he's going to be successful at doing that, or whether he was not intended to in the first place. Who knows? It's kind of sad that we here at the French Connection actually put fear into people when we call them. I mean, unless they're willing to, to really state the facts. And the other side of this, too, is taking stands based on religious grounds. And many people email me, and they want to know if I'm a Christian or if I'm a Catholic or all this other stuff. And the fact is, I'm none of those things. I'm a human being, and I'm part of the human family, and I abhor the kind of sickness that is being poured out on our lands. Worldwide, and I take a look at this stuff, this messianic belief system that is propelling some of this forward, whether it's true or it's not, whether the people believe it or they don't. The facts are is that this is what's being sold to everyone, and there are enough people who do take this stuff seriously that right now America is starting to talk about the Third World War and the Second Coming of Christ and the Rapture and all this other very, very disturbing conversations. And I have to tell you that as long as we've got this level of trouble in our population believing these kinds of lies and these deceptions and these troubling belief systems, what we're going to end up with is a terrible outcome. So the other idea that I'd like to put forward here is that you know, it is by design that southern Lebanon is being flattened. I mean, every apartment building, every street, and every corner is going to be bombed into rubble. And they're going to do that until it is done, until the job is done. That is why you're going to get a lot of false ceasefires, but the ceasefires will probably never end up anywhere until the job of this military has been brought to its conclusion. Now, there are some people I've talked to who believe that the statement that Hezbollah is stronger than anyone thought and that they're giving the Israelis a good fight is a false flag, a red herring. And here is the thinking on that, that in order to do that, it would do two things. It would give Syria an impetus to actually help out and bring themselves into the war, and maybe through provocation or border skirmish or incursion by Israel and America. Or it could give people a false sense that Hezbollah is stronger, and that's why Israel needs to completely wipe them out, because they are a powerful force north of the border. I can't help but think that any products that Hezbollah has since 1982 and their founding has to be minimal at best. I mean, if they've got machine guns and a couple of rocket launchers, that would probably be a lot. And the fact is, going up against a military machine as well supplied and as technologically advanced as the Israeli machine is, which is, some people believe, the third or fourth most powerful army in the world. I would probably say third, not fourth, by virtue of its technology and its citizen army having a couple of million people at their disposal to bring to the front. It is a lie that Hezbollah has a chance against these people, and I think it may well be the excuse they need to level that entire region up to the river that runs across Lebanon. And and the other side of it is too, you know, we do bring on religious people to speak here on this program. Ted Pike and David Pitcock has spoken, and he's a religious gentleman, and that in no way is me ascribing any validity either for or against in any of the instances. What I'm trying to get to is the reasons behind these acts that are happening, and why the peoples are believing certain dogmas and certain explanations for things. And also you have to understand people's belief systems, because this is how the people we're discussing right now think. There are those out there who believe, as I asked Israel Shamir, that this messianic hope for annihilation of peoples goes back 2,500 years. That may or may not be true. It may be a resurrected belief system that came from that era and is being used today in order to implement a policy of destruction around the world and then ultimate control of the planet or other things. But we can see that these acts that are being committed are being committed with a greater plan in mind. And we must understand that that there is a lot of work that goes into this into these actions that they take. This is not spur-of-the-moment stuff, ladies and gentlemen. If you read Benjamin Netanyahu's book he penned back in the 80s, you'll know that this stuff has been in the works for many, many decades. And then if you take a listen to some of the writings from the early 30s and 40s, Christopher John Burkus has brought some of it forward, and many other writers have, you'll also notice that these things have been in the planning stage since that period, and then earlier than that. So where it begins, I guess, is less material or less germane to these facts than what is next here. I think Israel Shamir was correct that they do want to get Iran and Syria involved here, because that is part of the plan for greater Israel control. And I think that we are looking at a terrible period in human history right now. It's just beginning. It's something that we as lovers of freedom and lovers of peace and want people who want good lives have to stand up against, people of goodwill. The truth choices if we don't. Seem to me to be too horrendous to even contemplate. And it's becoming clearer to me that this population of Israelis are psychopathic. Now, I don't know that the psychopathic nature was inborn or whether it was taught them. I tend to believe taught. But if you take a look at the dehumanization of Arab peoples and the insistence upon utter destruction of these people and the genocidal behavior toward Palestinians and the sickness that has been spread throughout the Middle East on behalf of Israelis and the Israeli public. And these people fed a diet of supremacy and fed a diet of superiority. And even in American press, the Jewish mind is the best. There was even an article in a very prominent magazine saying Jewish lovers are the best. And it said Jewish musicians are the best. And Jewish everything is the best. And this is a diet that these people are weaned on in their youth. It creates a psychosis, I think, a sickness. And you'll see the evidence of it where Chabad Lubavitcher rabbis are signing bombs. And you'll notice that 8 and 9 year old Israeli children are signing murderous notes to civilians in Lebanon. And we've all seen those images. And when you see this kind of stuff, you'll understand that there is a sickness about the people who are perpetrating this. Now, does the sickness go deep enough for these people to want a worldwide genocide? Are they interested in supremacy or destruction, or what is it that their ultimate goal is? Well, if you're a scripture believer, you're gonna come to the conclusion that what they want here is utter annihilation of humanity and some sort of Armageddon. If you are a regionalist, you're thinking they just want hegemony and they want to control a region and maybe its resources and its water and other things. Where I fall on that is on all of the above. All of the above. It really doesn't matter what the ultimate goal is, except to say that they are murderers and that they are going to continue to do this, and they have done this from their beginning. They were responsible in the last 100 years for murdering countless tens of millions of human beings around our world in world wars. They have enslaved peoples in Turkey and caused the German population to be utterly destroyed, both culturally as well as economically. And now the German nation is but a shell of its former self. And they've done the same thing in Russia, and they completely gutted that nation and turned it into a pile of ineffectual human beings that are still dying at their lifespan right now in Russia. It's like 48 for a man, 47, highest alcoholism rate in the world. They've lost millions and millions of their Orthodox Christian population to pogroms that were instituted and initiated by their Jewish masters that were in power in Russia. And we've got this same sickness going to be descended upon America. There is no doubt in my mind. And they're attempting now to spin this as though the Christian right is going to take the blame for it all when the leadership of the Christian right has been under the thumb of Zionism from the beginning. If you know anything about Scofield Bibles and everything, ladies and gentlemen, it isn't hard to figure out what's happened here. The one chance we have is to come together as caring human beings and fight them with every ounce of strength that we've got. And we can do that. We are able to do that. We are powerful as a group. We are people who know the truth. And our ranks are growing. Our numbers are expanding. Don't pay attention to what they tell you in these polls, because they control the polls. They control the media. And, of course, they're going to want to let you think that they are in much a better situation than they really are. Don't pay attention to their nonsense. In fact, only as a reference point should you even bother wondering what they are doing. We should just work feverishly at recruiting people to these ideas, because ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, it is going to be the numbers and the opinion shapers that go out into the world and share these knowledges with others that are going to bring these people down. We need to take our financial system back, but we need to avoid the destruction of our country's goals and situation, because that's what happened in Russia. As soon as the place starts falling apart, they're there with the immediate solution, and it's always a horrible disaster for the population. We need to get rid of the Democrats and Republicans, because both those parties are in the employ of the Zionist Jews. We need to start another completely different party with absolutely no ties to either Democrats or Republicans. And we need to make it known that any of these people who have worked with AIPAC, taken a single dime from them, are not even available to be reelected in any way, ever. And in fact, should be investigated for treason, because that their actions have amounted to treason against the United States and against the American people. When you start understanding that the fluoride in your water system, and you understand that the water system in the U.S. filter is the number one water system in the country, and 60% of the cities is owned through the Rothschild fortune, and you know that fluoride dumbs down your intellect by 10% and makes you docile, you'll understand that they have fattened you up with MSG in almost every single food item you eat. And if you give MSG to a rat, ladies and gentlemen, the bloody rat will double in size in 3 months, or even less, 3 weeks, I think. I read the study. Maybe you can correct me after you hear this audio. Simple fact of the matter is that this is a very well-established, deeply adhered to an organized plan to destroy the United States and the world, and place us under the control of a very sick, megalomaniac, psychotic group of human beings who believe their own dogma. And I don't know if the people at the top believe this dogma, but the people down below certainly do. 80% if you listen to Shamir's take on that. So, the talk tonight, the interview fell short in a lot of ways, both in the information shared and the willingness to stay and answer more questions. Not my fault. Did what I could. I was expecting a full hour with Mr. Shamir. Frankly, I don't think he's worth calling back, so you won't get a third interview from this gentleman. I think he's really got very little to say to us. If you'd like to go to his website, it's israelshamir.net. You can read some of the things he's got there, and I don't doubt that some of his things he said have made a difference, but I just don't think he's willing to go as far as we need to go to stop these people. So, you know, you learn something every day here. This is a learning curve, and we all are brought up to speed when we do these interviews. But until the next interview, ladies and gentlemen, you have to go out and recruit people to this message. I want to thank people. Very few of you send in donations, but there are some of you who have, and I want to thank you for it. We do our bandwidth, by the way, is unbelievable. It's doubled. It's doubled in a month. And we're past that limit, and we're going to end up having to give a couple of bucks to that. But it's small potatoes. If we can get up to 50,000 downloads a day, boy, we'll be the happiest people on the planet, because that'll mean we're really making a big difference. But little by slowly, the prices are going to rise for us, and we appreciate the help of those people out there who sent us a couple of bucks. Keep it coming. We need it. And all the rest of the stuff happening. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a fight for our lives. I really believe that. And I think America is already going to implode at some level financially. Does that mean we have to lose our constitutional republic forever? No, it certainly doesn't. And don't go for the quick fix. There is going to be quick fixes offered. Be very, very suspicious and look at all of these quick fixes with a jaundiced eye, especially this guy Aaron Russo's Federal Reserve implosion thing. There's reasons for that, ladies and gentlemen. When there's mayhem in the streets of America, they're going to come in with their own tyrannical leadership like they did in Russia and Turkey. Yeah. And Germany. Yeah. It's going to get worse. So pay attention here. The fight is on, and I'm with you, every one of you. I appreciate it for you tuning in today. Tell everyone. Go to the forums. We've got over 10,000 people on this, listening to these broadcasts. start posting this stuff everywhere. Send emails out. Start lists. Make our presence known all over this planet. Find chat rooms in foreign languages if you have to, if you speak a foreign language. Go to message boards in foreign countries and in America and Craigslist and every place. Start BitTorrents. Do the legwork for us. I have to tell you, there have been some people who've donated themselves recently to help me get some IT stuff done. I want to thank them right up front here. I'm not going to mention names because they don't need to be. But I'm aware, I want you to be aware that there are people that are trying to help very much. This is a grassroots movement, ladies and gentlemen. Keep that in mind. And we need your help to make it work. So please, pull up the bootstraps and give the world a little taste of what it is to be an American and the ingenuity and the hard work that we can bring to bear on a terrible issue like this. And let's resurrect the terrible reputation we're all winning around the world by fighting back against these criminals. Until the next broadcast, this is Daryl Bradford Smith saying goodbye and be well. Bye-bye now.